Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor.
Oh, yes.
On your favorite day.
It is a good day.
And it's not even football season for high school football.
Well,
so
remind us that some teams are still in the playoffs.
Yeah, whatever.
Not us, but that's okay.
But it means your weekend's wide open, so that's good.
It is pre-Thanksgiving preparation-y stuff, you know.
My wife actually covered the plants in front of our house sheets last night.
We didn't break freezing over here, though.
Yeah.
It only got down to, like, I think 33, 34.
I don't know. But it just looked funny.
Yeah, it did.
We only have plants in the summer. I mean, we do have
Mike just gives up on winter plants.
We do have a banana tree that Donnie
They're pretty hardy,
planted,
though.
But are they?
Yeah.
Really?
You just got to cut back the dead stuff and let them grow in the spring.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see.
Hey, let nature run its course. That's what I would say.
Exactly, man.
That's what I would say. The church today commemorates, this is both the dedication of the basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul, and also Saint,
Saint
Rose Philippine Duchenne.
Duchenne.
Yes.
Yes. So two beautiful days. And I think I'm going to focus on her since her shrine here is in the United States.
All right, go for it.
So we're going to ask for her intercession this morning as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, who filled the heart of St. Rose Philippine Duchenne with charity and missionary zeal, and gave her the desire to make you known among all peoples, grant us to follow her way and fill us with that same love and zeal to extend your kingdom to the ends of the earth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Spectrum Collision, serving Mobile for over 40 years. Spectrum provides mechanic and collision repair, tires, 24-hour towing, and more. Located on Airport Boulevard, call Spectrum at 251-342-0005 or visit SPECCOL.com.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, November 18th, 2022. Months after the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago home of President Trump, the Washington Post is admitting that no classified documents were found. The former president's motive for allegedly keeping material at his residence was largely him wanting to keep mementos, contrary to months of speculation about what he was doing with highly classified documents there. Shocking. Meta Platforms, parent company of Facebook, has fired or disciplined more than 24 employees and contractors whom it accused of improperly taking over users' accounts and in some cases allegedly for bribes, according to the Wall Street Journal. As part of the alleged abuse of the system, Meta says, in some cases, workers accepted thousands of dollars in bribe from outside hackers to access user accounts, their people, and their documents. Another shocking news story. Here's one that's going to cause just ripples through Alabama. The world of professional cornhole is reeling from a potential cheating scandal that happened at the 2022 American Cornhole League World Championships. During the event, the number one ranked team was accused by competitors of using bags that were not up to code, which now has fans saying that this is the dirty underbelly of cornhole being exposed. The incident's no laughing matter, however, according to those in the cornhole community, because the prize was $15,000. Turns out the bags did not follow the rules. The bags used during the game must be 6 inches by 6 inches and weigh 16 ounces, according to the American Cornhole League. The incident has now been dubbed Baggate.
Oh, my Lord.
I know. This is kind of Friday news you get with me. In sports news on Thursday, Green Bay lost to Tennessee. And, of course, the World Cup tournament begins on Sunday, so you and Mike can set your DVRs in whether it's colder today. There you go.
Indeed. Sounds good. It will be fun because I get to sit with my son-in-law and watch some football.
Yeah, got to have teams. Oh, and contrary to yesterday's rumor, I saw a headline in the New York Post, so it must be true, that the U.S. actually has a fairly decent men's team this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Always look forward to Friday mornings when Media Czar Tom McDonald comes on. Good morning, Tom.
I had no idea I was going to start my morning hearing about the seedy underbelly of cornhole.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. We don't even want to talk about it.
Don't get me started on hula hoops.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to know the corruption.
The cheating scandal. So around this time of year, we have a lot of, let's say, our older kids will come home and we'll all be sitting around and we'll think, hey, let's watch a movie. Like, this will be great. You know,
go to the movies. Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
With all the little kids and everything, it's kind of more fun, I think, to just be at home because then you can continue to eat all, continuously.
Yes. And,
but it just seems like that's really fun for those holiday movies. Right, Tom?
Yeah. I mean, what are the holidays about at heart if not eating continuously? So I was taking a look at upcoming new releases from basically now through the end of the year. So it would take us through the Thanksgiving holidays and then Christmas. And the thing that is striking to me as I look at these lists is how many of these major releases are either going straight to are being produced straight by a streaming service, or they're being released in theaters, for like a week or two, and then going to a streaming service.
And that's just so that they can contend with the Oscars, or why do they do that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think that is the reason. So it's really the theater dynamic is changing, and I don't think it's ever going back to what it was. I think, you're going to have a few major, huge releases in the theaters, like the Black Panther sequel that just came out, and about everything else is going to be a streaming thing. And what's odd about that is, if something's coming out in theaters, we can all see it. We can all have a cultural conversation about it and whatnot. But if it's coming out on a streaming service, it's going to depend on if you have that streaming service. And so that's going to fragment our cultural, exposure to these. And also I think, I'm really curious, the streaming services don't really release their viewership numbers. I'm really curious, if you take a major release that's an Oscar contender and you put it in a theater like they did years ago, how many tickets would have been sold to that versus if you have that same movie released today, but it's only on Apple Plus?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are going to see it there because of what the smaller sliver of subscribers to that. So I think I would love to see these numbers, but there's just no way to get them. So
it has kind of divided the cultural conversation because just as you said, we've talked about movies where people are like, oh, well that is on Apple Plus or that's just on, Paramount Plus or HBO Max. I mean, these are ones that I don't have. I'm like, okay, well, I'm never going to see that film then. That's the resolve, right, Tom?
Yeah, because if a movie was in a theater, you'd say, well, the tickets are expensive. I don't have time to get to it, but I'll just watch it when it comes out on video.
Mm-hmm.
And those days are over. If it's produced by Netflix and it's on Netflix, that's the only place where it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they make some decision down the road to make it more widely available, which actually is interesting because some of these streamers are starting to do a little something like that. And I listed a little off topic, but it's interesting. The season 5 premiere, first 2 episodes of Yellowstone just aired a few nights ago, and that is a Paramount show. It premiered on the Paramount Network, which I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I can't watch it. I don't have that. And then later I found out that they aired the first 2 episodes on a family of like 4 different networks. And I had at least 2 of those. And I didn't know. I didn't know it was on all 4. The same thing with the Disney show Andor, which we talked about last week. It's on Disney Plus, only on Disney Plus, but they've made an announcement. They're going to show the first two episodes on like five other networks.
Really?
And I think the idea is they're starting to realize this problem that you tell somebody about a great show and they don't have that streaming service, they're not going to see it because most people are not going to subscribe to the service just for one show. So I think these services are realizing we got to make it available for everybody to see the first episode or two, and that'll hook them, and then they'll have to come subscribe to see the rest.
Right.
So it really, this whole industry in marketing is in flux right now. It's kind of fascinating.
So I'm looking at the titles of what's coming up now to the end of the year, and I don't see anything that jumps out at me like, oh, I've heard a lot of hype about or anything. So what are you looking at that, you know, might come down the pike that might somehow attract us all?
Yeah, I think you're right, Ellen. There's not a whole lot that is the big movie. There are a couple that might qualify, which we'll touch on. But the first thing, we'll sort of kind of go in order here from now through Christmas. The first thing that I know many of our listeners will be interested in is season 3 of The Chosen, which, you know, I've been a big cheerleader for that show for a while now. Mm-hmm. The TV series about the life of Christ, which is just so expertly done. People have been waiting a long time for season 3 to come out, and it is it's ready. And the plan has been for a while to release the first two episodes in theaters and not on the streaming service right away. They have not announced a date for the streaming premiere of season 3, but it's expected it will be sometime in December. But episodes 1 and 2 back to back will air in theaters, will play in theaters starting today. And I did check, it is showing locally at some of our theaters. I don't know for how long it'll stay there. I just looked through like today through Tuesday, and they're showing scheduled for each of those days. So if you're a fan of The Chosen and you want to not wait around for it to stream, you can buy a ticket and go to the theater, see it tonight or see it through the weekend. I'm planning on doing that with my kids when they all get in town. And just be warned that whenever you watch The Chosen, the episode is preceded by the producer and director, Dallas Jenkins, yapping at you for about 30 minutes, trying to sell merchandise and get you to donate to the show. If you go to the theater, that I've already been warned that is happening again. You'll get him for about 30 minutes and then the two episodes after that.
Okay.
So that is that's happening starting today. Now, on to the regular movies. Let's consult my list here. One that you may have seen some commercials for is a movie directed by Steven Spielberg called The Fabelmans, which is basically it's a semi-autobiographical movie about Steven Spielberg and his time growing up as a young kid who becomes interested in being a filmmaker. The name, The Fabelmans, gives away the fact that it's not entirely true. He plays fast and loose with his own life. But apparently it's gotten a little bit of buzz that it gives you some insight into how he got interested in filmmaking and the magic of movies and all that. So that comes out in wide release on November 23rd, and that is in theaters. Now, interestingly about that, Steven Spielberg has really resisted the streaming trend. He has been vocal about it, that he thinks movies should be coming out in theaters. So this movie is coming out only in theaters for the time being. Now, in contrast to that, on November 18th, which is today, on Apple TV Plus, the movie Spirited is being released. Now, this is a movie that you would normally have thought would be in theaters because it's got big stars. It's got Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds.
Wow.
Two of the biggest comic stars that there are. And it's going to be on Apple TV Plus starting today. And it is a musical comedy based on Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol. Farrell is the ghost of Christmas present, and Ryan Reynolds plays a character named Clint Briggs, who is the sort of the Ebenezer Scrooge of this version, apparently. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that. The buzz on that is not great, but those guys are both so funny that, you know, I feel like that since I have Apple TV Plus, I'm going to find some time to watch it over the holidays.
Yeah, but with those two guys, unfortunately, it's normally not kid-friendly, though, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the other problem with things going straight to streaming is that it's harder to get a, you know, you don't have the normal rating system mm-hmm. like you do in the theaters. So I don't know what the rating on it is, but that's something, you know, my advice to everyone is, if there's any movie that you're considering watching with your kids, just get online and search, look for any info you can find on the content. And then if you start to watch it, there's always that little box on there that will tell you what the content is, a little brief overview. So yeah, I would never watch anything like this just blindly with my kids. And I, you know, since these are just trailers, I'm not up on what the content is. But yeah, that's one I would be careful with before just plopping down the family.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of another possibility for families, but also the challenge of streaming services, is A Christmas Story Christmas.
Oh, come on. I heard about this, that he's coming back.
Yeah, so
I saw the commercial the other day.
Yeah, it's I've heard about this for a long time. This was released actually yesterday. Unfortunately, it's only on HBO Max, which is a streaming service that I don't get. So I'm not able to watch it at the current time. But I, you know, this is a sequel to A Christmas Story, which is one of the beloved Christmas classics that airs around the clock during Christmas. You know, think of the leg lamp and Fred Gile and all that stuff. So, but this stars Peter Billingsley, who played Ralphie in the original. He's back playing adult Ralphie with his own family, kind of trying to going back to his hometown, carrying on the legacy of his father in at Christmas time. And a lot of the kids who were in the original are back for this one, which, you know, I'm the one thing that interests me about it is that all that original cast is back.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the teaser trailer, and let's just say I'm not going to subscribe to HBO Max just to watch the trailer did not look good. So I do not have high hopes for this. But anyway.
It's what you'd expect. He looks just like he did as a kid.
I know, but if you got the right director, it could really, and good writers, could really be funny.
I don't know. Lightning doesn't strike twice, I don't think. So I think that any sequel to that movie is probably doomed. But now, as far as, and again, the content, no idea. Mm-hmm. Another one that might be okay for families, but I'm not sure. You'll have to check it out. And it starts today also, is Disenchanted, which is on Disney Plus. Now, several years ago, Amy Adams and Patrick Dempsey starred in the movie Enchanted, which was a live action, a little bit of animation, live action kind of spoof or loving send up of all the Disney princess films, where it imagined a Disney princess transported into our real world and the incongruity of that. And that's where the comedy came. And that's a pretty loved movie at this point. Mm-hmm. So Disenchanted many years later is the follow up to that 15 years later, in fact, with the same original cast. But it's sort of, what's going on now with Giselle and Robert, the couple who is trying to live happily ever after from the first film. And I've seen the trailer and I can't tell from the trailer if it's going to be good. I hope it's good because our family enjoyed the first one. But again, this is one that I would be careful and I would do some research before just putting it on for the kids. And that's all. Everything so far I've mentioned is just stuff coming out this weekend. I mean, that's available for watching over Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm just scrolling through my list looking for other things. There's another one starting this weekend on Netflix. This is the segment I intended to go through Christmas, but I think it's going to end up just being things that are out this week. On Netflix, starting today, is a film called Slumberland, which stars Jason Momoa, who you might remember as Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
It is based on the early 1900s comic strip called Little Nemo in Slumberland, which is sort of a fantasy adventure that centers on a young girl who discovers a map to a secret world called Slumberland. And the the description here says she meets an eccentric outlaw played by Jason Momoa who helps her travel across dreams and hopes of reuniting with her father. I saw a trailer for this. It looks weird. But sometimes weird is good. Sometimes weird is not good. The trailer did not get me excited for this.
The trailer was like so much CGI, it gave me a headache.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Again, that's another one to investigate. Maybe it's okay for families, not sure, but Slumberland is on Netflix. One that I am somewhat interested about that's coming out November 23rd is called Devotion, and this is more for, you know, not for kids, but for adults. This is on based on the best-selling book of the same name. It's a historical war drama that centers on some celebrated Navy pilots, including Jesse Brown, the first black aviator in the U.S. Navy, and his wingman, Tom Hudner, played by Glenn Powell, who you just saw as a pilot in the Top Gun sequel, and their heroics during the Korean War. Wow. So it's like Top Gun, sort of, but there's also more depth. It's about the prejudice that Brown faced being the first black aviator, and it's getting a lot of buzz for possible awards. Mm-hmm. So I am curious about that one. Again, that's called Devotion, and that comes out on November 23rd.
All right, so we look forward to that, and hopefully we'll find something that we can all sit down with the whole family, Tom. That'll be great.
I figure he's going to have to do the Christmas list next time.
Yep, we'll have to add more to the list.
All right,
Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. All right. Dan Burke's up next. We're starting a new series on the interior life. I think you guys came up with a clever title, right? Well, you'll break that down and
announce it. Yeah.
On LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us.
If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, I figured you were going to bring in Dan Burke because
he's one of my favorite people on
the
planet.
And you guys talked yesterday about this segment.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. You can connect with Dan at spiritualdirection.com. And now we're starting a new series, correct, Dan?
Yeah, I'm excited to hang out with you guys on a weekly basis and talk a bit about the interior life, how to grow spiritually, how to deal with the tough times we face interiorly, and how to thrive even in the midst of darkness.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think it's well needed, too.
I think sometimes we forget that the spiritual realm, I mean, because we get into a rhythm, and I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. You know, we're doing the things in our lives, and then we realize, wow, I don't know how fortified I am against the difficulties and struggles of life, right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, and what's funny is the thing you just said, it relates to the scripture passage that we just heard read here on the show from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass this morning. Jesus said, in part, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And we often look at this passage as this historical thing, and we don't apply it to ourselves. But like, what now is the house? What is the temple now? It's our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. And what is supposed to be going on in our hearts? Our hearts are supposed to be what would be called a house of prayer, a place where God is prominent in thoughts of God and worship of God and care. And instead, he said, we've made it a den of thieves. Well, how do we do that? It's we allow the cares of the world, the fears, love of money, insecurity, anxiety, whatever it is, whatever's going on in the political world, the junk in the church, and we push him out. And what is supposed to be a house of prayer and peace becomes a house of false worship, right? Because we still go through the motions.
Right.
And we may even do, pray our rosary or whatever, but we're not doing it in a way that really is indicative of a personal relationship. And the threat is, unfortunately, in this the entire spectrum of this passage, and it's a reflection from Jesus on a passage in Jeremiah, is that when a temple gets corrupted, it the end of it is to be destroyed, which happened in the first century temple in 70 AD. And for us, for our temple to be destroyed, of course, means hell. For our temple to be glorified, of course, means heaven. But for us to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, rather than, you know, go to your destruction, our house has to be a house of prayer. Our hearts have to be a place where we daily, regularly meet Jesus and encounter him and then walk with him. Does that make sense?
It does, Dan. But I think the struggle is, just like in Scripture, it rocked me the first time when I read the passage where they came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. Because I'm like, well, hang on a second. They know how to pray. Something's missing. Something's really missing there, Dan. And I think a lot of people, we recognize that we just stay in the shallows. We talked about this yesterday, which kind of came up with the name for this series. Right, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we decided to call it Into the Deep. And as you say, if we remain in the shallows, we will never really know him. And as you said, you referenced that when Jesus' disciples asked him to pray, they knew how to pray. I'm a Jewish Catholic. I actually remember prayers in Hebrew that they prayed then, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, you know, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, you know. So they knew those prayers, but they knew also that something was wrong with the way they understood what it meant to be in relationship with God. And they're saying, you're a new thing. You're revealing God to us in a new way. I don't think we really know how to relate to you well. And he said, he began with, well, one, don't pray like the Pharisees, right? Mm-hmm. He said, you know, do it in private. I'm extrapolating here to other things that he said. He said, you know, don't pray to be seen as something special in front of other people. Don't pray as an outward facade, but go into your inner room, you know, meet me there. And then when you meet me there, don't pray like the pagans. Don't repeat endless empty phrases that you've memorized or that you've heard. Those won't help you. I want you to meet me and to know me. Let me show you how to pray, you know. And then so we entered into that beautiful, the Our Father that we know. But the Our Father is a doorway into all kinds of beautiful reflections on the glory of God and his goodness and his provision for us and our call to not hold withhold forgiveness and all of those things. So, yeah, we've got to go deeper, Todd, or else the world will make our hearts a den of thieves.
So, Dan, when you talk about that, and I'm intrigued because you probably described a lot of our prayer lives where we perhaps know it, the words in our mouth, but not in our hearts. So starting from that point of we have a desire to go deeper, how do we begin this journey?
Well, I'll say this about the desire, which is really cool, right? Mm-hmm. Your desire is God's promise.
Say that again.
Your desire is God's promise.
Nice.
Like you wouldn't even have that desire if he didn't put it on your heart. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't put it on your heart if he didn't have the intention of fulfilling it, right? But the question then, as you've asked, is how do we do that? And the most important way to meet Jesus, of course, is in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's the source and summit. But it's also, he calls us to be his disciples, to walk with him and to talk with him. And so in order for the Holy Sacrifice and the Mass even to bring all the graces that it can to our hearts, we must spend time with him every day. We must get to know him and love him. And the most important way to do that for people who might just beginning prayer is in the Gospels, to explore, like I did this morning. I spent all morning musing on this passage and trying to understand, what are you saying to me? And then lights went. I've never read this passage before this morning in anything but historical context. And then he said to me this morning, hey, there's much more deeper message here.
Right.
And you need to look at this deeper and you need to be careful. You need to make sure that the worries and cares of this life are not pushing out prayer from the time we've agreed to meet every morning.
Hmm.
And that's what we have to do. We have to meet him every morning. We have to dedicate time, just like our relationship with our spouses. You know, my wife and I have, God be praised, of intimate conversation every day. some families aren't like that, and they need to schedule the time. In terms of prayer, that's always true with those who have serious prayer lives. We have to schedule a specific time every day that we give him our heart and open our heart. And then when we do that, we push out the den of thieves and the robbers that are trying to steal the intentions and the focus of our hearts and minds.
Can you give more direction, Dan? Because I've had a lot of people that have come to me, and basically they're asking that same question, teach me to pray. And
yeah,
and they've been in the church for decades and decades. But where do people start if they really do want to take that next step into the deep?
Well, I think it's what we named the segment after my book, it was just something Todd said, so it works, but it's called Into the Deep, and what it, there are three elements that help you to have success in prayer. Sacred time, which means that you give God a specific time every day. If it's 5 minutes, if it's 10 minutes, you make a solemn promise to him to do that. And then you set up a sacred space, which is a place where you use candles or icons that help you to draw your attention to God. And then you practice sacred attention. This is the hardest one, and it's why you need sacred time and sacred space. But sacred attention is just opening up the scriptures. And Lectio Divina is the best way, you know, to do this. If you want to pick up Into the Deep, you can do that at spiritualdirection.com. But it's a simple method of prayer where we open the scriptures, we read it slowly out loud. I always recommend out loud, especially for those who are new, so that you're flooding your heart and mind with not only just ideas, but also vibrations from your vocal cords and, you know, your hearing. And so it helps you to focus. And you just begin to read the Word of God and ask him to reveal himself to you. And I promise that he will. I've never met anyone who's really diligently given themselves to Lectio Divina, this ancient practice of beautiful prayer, who didn't encounter God in some way. So I don't know if that's specific enough, Todd, but that's a good place to start.
I think if you can break it down even a little bit more. You know, I used to teach eighth graders, and I think
you like it laid out for you, John.
Yeah, it's really
yes.
The good place, because a lot of people still have that kind of eighth grade, like, okay, when you say a sacred time, because some people look at their day and they're like, Dan, are you kidding me? I don't have 2 minutes to rub together, and you're asking me to do this in the midst of the holiday rush, trying to get ready for everything, and I can't get a turkey.
I think that if we really look at how we spend our time.
Oh, I mean, I agree, but I'm saying
15 minutes you're scrolling through Twitter somewhere or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I was more
watching TV.
For me, this sacred place, because my favorite time to pray is when it's dark and early in the morning and I go walking my dog. There's nobody out because it's cold in Alabama at 6 a.m. So then I'm like, well, I don't actually have a sacred place because it's just my when I traverse my neighborhood. I didn't know how much important that was.
Yeah. Well, there are degrees, right? And different things help you to pray. The most common way is just sitting in stillness in darkness, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And your sacred space doesn't have to be elaborate. It can be just a candle and an icon. That's how I started. And your sacred attention is just, you know, to be really practical, you sit down and you say, Lord, I want to know you. Please reveal yourself to me. Help me to know you. Lord, as I open up these scriptures, please show me yourself. Show me your heart. Show me my own heart. Help me to understand how to follow you.
Yeah.
And it's best that we have a dedicated time where we're not doing other things. It's fine and good to walk and pray. I actually do that every day myself as well. But it's when you're walking, it can be a little bit distracting to a pure focus on him. It's sort of like the height of the marital intimacy. You're not doing anything but it's being attentive to the other, right, in that embrace. And so similarly, this kind of prayer, this deeper kind of prayer, only comes when we're careful to do nothing but prayer. And then that makes other times of prayer more rich, like the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass or the Rosary, that sort of thing. So I think, you know, as we head into Advent, I'll just say this, it's really an important time. If you've never developed a time of prayer, it's a time where the church asks us to consider the four last things, you know, death, judgment, heaven and hell, and where we're headed. And if we're not praying, you know, giving ourselves every day to a time of prayer, then the den of thieves will take over our hearts, and it's not going to be good when we meet them. But if we are praying, even if we stink at it, okay, mm-hmm. even if we're terrible at it, even if we're tired all the time or we're falling asleep, we're at least going to that place to meet Jesus. And he'll redeem all of our poverty, and he'll make all of our good intentions come to good, however badly we may execute.
Right. And, yeah. and when you do those things, I've seen the fruits of this in my own yeah. life and in my family's life. I don't mean to brag about this, but it's just so cool. My 14-year-old son did me a favor. Mm-hmm. So I mm-hmm. said, well, I'll pay you back. What do you want? And he goes, well, I want something different. I don't want you to just take me out for ice cream. I want something different. And I'm mm-hmm. like, uh-oh. He asked me to build him a kneeler.
Oh, wow.
For his bedroom. I know. Uh-huh. Wow. And then, and so I was almost crying while I'm building this kneeler.
Right.
And then he puts it in his room, and then he goes, Dad, come see my prayer spot.
Oh.
And it's covered in holy cards where it's facing the wall, just mm-hmm. covered in holy cards. And it just gives me chills when I think about it. And anytime I go past the room, and if I see him there, I'm just thinking, okay, you know, for all the mess that I've done mm-hmm. in life, mm-hmm. I did at least one good thing. Mm-hmm. Right, Dan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. God be praised. Hey, I want to, as we close the segment, I want to ask people to head out to spiritualdirection.com. Mm-hmm. Got a great post on the Jesse tree. If you've never done this Advent devotion that helps you to experience the story of salvation from the beginning to the end and help your kids get engaged. If you've never done this, practice this beautiful tradition, it's a great time to do that and to use it even as a time of meditation and prayer. There's a great book by Eric Sammons called The Jesse Tree that can give us daily meditations. If we've never started a life of prayer, you can begin daily meditations through this beautiful devotion and have a deeper Advent and be holier and have kids like Todd's.
Dan, Clark.
Wow.
Oh, I love you.
Into the Deep. That's going to be this segment on Fridays as we explore a richer, deeper spiritual life with Dan Burke. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. God bless.
That's the way to head into the weekend.
I know. Woo-hoo. Sunday Gospel Reflections up next. It's Feast of Christ the King this Sunday.
The Doug Vu.
King of the universe.
Stay
well,
with
not
us.
Not Doug, Father Doug, but, you know, Christ, King of the universe.
It always makes me think that Father Andrew Jones is playing the piano.
That would be good.
Yeah,
that would
welcome
be
back awesome. To Lake Catholic Morning.
A live piano.
Play it live.
That'd be cool. But on the line, we have Father Doug Vu, who is the pastor of St. Barnabas Parish in Birmingham, here to share the Sunday Gospel Reflection. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? Everyone doing?
Great.
So much better
Thank
now that we
you.
Hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, good. Mm-hmm. Praise be Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Should we read the gospel and we talk about the gospel for this Sunday?
Please.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Perfect. Go ahead, Top Vu.
Good. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers cheered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuked him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied to him, Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dear brothers and sisters, this Sunday, November 20, the Universal Church will celebrate the solemnity of Jesus Christ, our Lord, King of the Universe. And in the Gospel of Luke, we just heard it talk about the moment of crucifixion of our Lord, and people all around him all had different opinions about him. Someone to mock Jesus and his authority, and to say, if you are, say, you are King of, Son of God, why don't you save yourself and prove to us that you can get off that cross? But another repentant thief say that all of us have been condemned justly for our crimes, but this man, this innocent man, is done, had nothing wrong. And Jesus promised him that this day, that repentant a thief will be with him in the kingdom. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I know we're on radio. We have many listeners listen to us, maybe driving from home to work, school, and other activities. And I should invite one. There's a scholar said this opinion. I forgot his name now. A few years ago, two things we need to know: that Jesus Christ is the King of the universe, but also this scholar said this: there are no king on this earth without his kingdom. Just think about it for a second. If Jesus is a king, all his children, all his believers, all his followers are part of his kingdom. So in order to have a king, he needs a kingdom. And the kingdom for you and me today is a universal church. All are baptized and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question for you and me this weekend is this: how much do I love Jesus? Do I put Jesus at the center of my life? Do I pledge my allegiance, my faith? Again, First Commandment say we should love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. But I've been a Catholic priest and been a Christian myself, a baptized person. And, you know, throughout the course of my life, when I look at it and reflect on it, from time to time, I'd rather do something else other than to love, to follow, and to serve the Lord, because I have my freedom and my free will. I wish to pursue things that might look important to me, but might have not, you know, spiritual values to the Lord. So this weekend, and to this means of communication, I invite all of us, our listeners, just take a deep moment and say a prayer to Jesus. Lord, I want to recommit to you again. I want to know you, love you, honor you, and worship you as my Lord and my King. And because you are my Lord and my King, I want to give everything that I am, everything that I have to you, so that with you and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can build a kingdom of God, both here on earth and in the days to come. So dear brothers and sisters, remember that Jesus is King, but he needs you and me to be part of his kingdom. So please participate in the kingdom of Jesus and kingdom of God. So that is my brief reflection with us this morning. Mm-hmm. So I pause now to give my colleagues here and my friends to join in, maybe ask some questions and ideas. What do you think? I know all of you Catholics for many years, and share with us your past experience of when they come to this feast day. Mike liked football a lot, so you know, it's almost like, if you will, this is a championship game here. I know we have championship coming up next few weeks, so this is a championship game. This is a victory, if you will, of Jesus over sin and death. But of course, all of us are children, just like those two who are married have your own children. Someday we love our parents, someday we listen to our parents, and some days we rebel against our parents. And I'm sure we do that to our Lord too. So let us come back. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my King. And what can I do to further your kingdom? And how may I participate in this plan of salvation for the whole world? So remember that, dear brothers and sisters, that Jesus is King. He wants us to be part of his kingdom, to tell the whole world about him. So that's enough for the morning. So brother and sister, what is your thoughts, ideas?
Well, I think the struggle, Father, that we have, especially here in the United States,
is that we've never had a royal family here. So the concept of a king, even when we use the word lord, I think it's hard for us to, you know, actualize that and make that manifest in our lives. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. That's why, because we are, well, thanks be to God, we are democratic society, and you know, and but I did have the opportunity to study, and I'm sure you don't even know that I studied one summer in England in my college years, and another month in Ireland. So I had the opportunity to visit many beautiful castles and lots. So I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated with all the kings and kingdoms and queen and royalty, and I know just not a form of government. That's, you're right. So the lordship, kingdom and kingship is not familiar with people who live in our country. That's correct.
I think too, if you bring up that reminder of that it's a king and he's leaving, and these are his final instructions to his people here. Go out. Yeah. You are a member of this kingdom. You are beloved and a member of this kingdom. And I have, you know, just when you were talking about that and about rulers and stuff, you know, if you ever see that movie Braveheart, where at the final scene where Mel Gibson, they're killing him and he gives them the cry to continue on. You know, this is a cry, this reading from our king from the cross that this will not be defeated. And so I think if we take that and go with it, and those are our instructions, that's where we go forth.
And also, again, to our brothers and sisters in our region and our listeners out there, fans with our station and programming, thank you for listening to us this morning. But also we need to understand that in our Lord Jesus Christ, let's remember this. And those of you know me in Birmingham, I have a nickname, you know, 10 years ago when I was in a prison, and a friend of mine invited me to join a local radio station to talk about sports and every so often. So they asked me for my nickname, and at that time I said, okay, can we start a new Twitter account called Voodat Nation? And my friends asked me why, because I say I want to build my own nation too. I want to have anyone want to build their brand identity and you know the influence within society. So I thought my friends said, well, come on now, let's just see how far we can push this thing called Voodat Nation. So at this moment I can say Voodat Nation is one person nation. And like founded by me and no other, and I don't have any subjects and servants like our Lord Jesus Christ has. So that's so Voodat Nation is one person, but Jesus' kingdom is for all people, all race, all tongue, all backgrounds, rich and poor, and all of us are invited to join at the banquet of God's table and be called lovingly as the children of God. And also understand, if our Lord Jesus Christ is the king, it makes all of us his children. So make you. All of us are prince and princess of the Jesus Christ. By the fact of our own baptism, we become royalty, not here on earth, but into the household of God in heaven, which lasts for all eternity. So again, I like to talk about the excitement, if you will, the joy, the hope to be called the children of God. So dear brothers and sisters out there, I know we have many different difficult things we deal with right now with, you know, midterm elections results and post-pandemic and the war in Ukraine. I'm sure some people are looking forward to spend time with their family and friends this next week for Thanksgiving. So dear people of God out there, if you have a good year, thanks be Jesus. If you have a hard year or you have difficulty right now in your life, please do not lose hope. Please do not lose hope. Have faith in Jesus. Please have faith in Jesus. And I ask all of us out here, Christians and Catholics and people of goodwill, please look around you. I'm sure you could find someone around you. It could be a colleague, a friend, a co-worker, a relative or friend that could use some encouragement, support. Visit with that person. Show that person how much our Lord Jesus loved you and me unconditionally. And he wants to invite all of us to be part of his kingdom. It didn't cost us anything. And he treats all of us with royalty treatments that this world can never give us. So please have faith in Jesus. All right, go back to the speaker. Come on, we have a few more minutes.
Oh, that's just beautiful. That's beautiful. That's like a drop mic moment there, Father. Because
it's coming from a championship priest.
Because you're admonishing us to go forward and to live this gospel message, and that will make the world a better place, right, Father?
Yeah, we are. But also, but Todd and friends. But also, the one of the things that I'm a very hopeful and joyful person by nature. That thanks be to God that His natural gift to me. But also, I'm very realistic. I have a background in business. I grew up in a family of 12 children. I have 24 nieces and nephews. So I grew up in a family context. I grew up in a poor country in Vietnam. So I understand life is not easy. Please, people of God, listen out there. We understand to believe in Jesus, the Lord Jesus never guaranteed us an easy life. He only guaranteed us eternal life. But while we live on earth, we do our best to take care of ourselves, our family, our work, our relationship, our those entrusted to our care, children, grandchildren. So, dear people of God, give our best.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Father Vu, can we get a blessing before you leave?
Yes. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all and happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you next time. Okay?
Thank you, Father Doug.
Thanks, Father.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm fired up.
He is.
I'm fired up. Archangel Radio would like to thank our local Catholic schools for participating in our fall pledge drive. Catholic schools providing Catholic faith with academic excellence. To learn more about Catholic schools in your area, visit mobartschools.org. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, Ed Condon talks about the upcoming USCCB meeting. Steve Ray shares about his pilgrimage, Footprints of God, and Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will discuss her article on world population. So,
okay, so I'm going to go deeper.
Yes.
And I'm going to go out and change the world.
Amen. All of that to do this weekend.
So, I mean,
that's
Catholic radio, baby. That's Catholic radio to a T. Awesome. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.